They still got that one timeout left in their back pocket. Dalton taking a shot to the end zone. It is caught. Adam Thielen. Magnificent pass from Dalton.
Andy Dalton, he's back, baby. The Red Rifle, as they call him. Trade Bryce Young today. All right, get out while you can.
I'd like there was a report yesterday that teams were calling them, too.
Yeah, do you believe that? Who? Who's calling? Miami? Miami should.
Miami.
We should try.
I mean, isn't a team that maybe liked him in the pre-draft process calling the Panthers and seeing if they can get him for like a fifth?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that probably the report, too? It's not the Panthers saying, like, balking at all. We would never trade Bryce Young. It's, no, you got to give us more.
Yep.
You got to give us, like, a second.
Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. It is the Buffalo Bills football Monday. We're going to have a Bills football Tuesday as well because this schedule is all crazy. A 7:30 game and an 8:15 game. Why are we doing the doubleheader on Monday night? Everyone seems to ask that question. What's with the Monday doubleheader?
7:30 is so good, though.
So I like 7:30.
That's a great time.
I was going to say, I will take that trade-off if the Bills are going to be the... If they're going to be on Monday night, I'd rather there be another game that pushes them a little bit earlier. No? I don't care if I miss Commanders Bengals.
Well, sure, but I guess the question is league-wide. Why a Monday night doubleheader? It's a standalone window, and you just decide to throw... Why not a Sunday night doubleheader?
Didn't they try this? Maybe the Bills were involved a couple years ago when they first did this, didn't they?
They've done this a handful of times. It used to be opening weekend is when they did it. And I feel like the last couple years, there have indeed been doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
And don't they try doing the whole double box nonsense like during the broadcast? I think they do that during the Bills game even. I don't know if they'd still do that tonight, but... Keep an eye on that. There might be a point in the second or third quarter where you can't just watch the Bills on one screen. That they're going one, like two boxes in the screen at the same time. We'll see, because I think they've done that in the past.
There are four Monday Night Football doubleheaders this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
They expanded that by a lot.
Next week, there are two games on Monday night.
Okay.
Titans, Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions. On October 21st in Week 7, it's Ravens-Bucks and Chargers-Cardinals. In Week 15, Bears-Vikings and Falcons-Raiders. Four Monday Night Football doubleheaders. So I'm reading from NBC Sports that the NFL's latest media rights agreement increased the number of games airing on ABC and ESPN. More games to air across the season led to the doubleheaders sprinkled throughout. That's why. Is that ABC and ESPN wanted more games. And the way to do that was... doubleheaders.
That's the only place they really could put them.
Yeah.
Right? But why would they... Aren't they kind of taken away from themselves
Why do they overlap? Probably because... All right, let's just game this out, Joe. If you started at 5, the West Coast wouldn't see the early game.
Right.
And if you started the second game at 10, the East Coast wouldn't see the late game.
Yeah.
You don't want to stagger this like the NHL with 7 and 10.
Right.
That's too late. Yeah. Okay, now am I doing 6 and 9 or 5 and 8? So you have them overlap a little bit. And you have them overlap by 45 minutes. Is that... I wonder if they've done the analytics of, well, what's the right time to overlap? You know, we talk about this a lot when there's an NHL quadruple header in the playoffs, and they're all in intermission at the same time. That seems like you shouldn't do that. So these games won't be at halftime at the same time. They're 45 minutes apart. But... It's going to be a regular feature, it feels like, in their new media deal of doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
They're getting just by the simple math of it, they're getting an extra hour and a half of football than a normal Monday night. That's the other thing, right? They're getting an extra hour and a half of ratings.
And they're doubling their chances of a dramatic game because you might have a dog game. Yeah. Last week when the Bills and Dolphins were on Thursday Night Football, that's a dog by the time it's the second half. Like, oh, all right, we're done here. So...
All right, so maybe it's not the worst idea.
I don't think it's a terrible idea. Yeah. It is kind of funny to see them going with the doubleheader at the same time. It's not something we're used to. Usually it's, the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock windows have multiple games going on. Sunday nights alone, Thursday nights alone, Monday nights standalone, and now it's a stand at 2. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. I was thinking about, you know, we were joking around with like the viral catch counter at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
The rookie receiver report.
Okay.
Want to do that?
Yes.
The rookie receiver report. Going in order. How's it going for each of these rookie receivers?
Okay.
First up, Marvin Harrison Jr. After a one catch, 4 yard performance against the Bills.
I think he had another touchdown yesterday.
He did.
Okay.
He did. They lined him up, ran him across the formation, caught a touchdown. And caught a couple others. Like, he had a fine day. Not a great day, but a fine day.
Yeah, 5 for 64 and a touchdown. I think, though, actually, given what his team did, I don't know how he ended, but there was a point in the third quarter where Kyler Murray had 80 yards.
Yeah.
So maybe he actually did pretty well, given his team didn't. Murray did end up with 207.
I watched
still.
Some of that game, and there were a couple times that his receivers let him down. Trey McBride had a drop.
Yeah.
Harrison had one or two that would have been very tough catches that maybe he could have made.
Mm-hmm.
But Harrison's doing fine.
Yes.
All right, rookie receiver report moves on. Malik Nabers.
Oh, my. I mean.
He's.
Holy cow.
He's Beckham. He's putting up the numbers that Beckham did as a rookie.
Yeah.
He's the youngest receiver ever with multiple touchdowns. He's the most targeted receiver in football by a lot.
Yeah.
They're throwing the ball to him all the time. And as a result, they are competitive. Their offense is Malik Nabers.
Yep. He's the number one score. He's the number one wide receiver in fantasy through three games. By his yardage job. I mean, 37 targets in three games.
They're throwing to him all the time.
He threw a pass yesterday, too, by the way. He was 0-for-1. I don't know how the pass went, but I saw it on the stat line.
Nabers has the highest team target share of any receiver in the league by more than 5%.
That's crazy.
He
is, and he's, like, do you see the touchdown he caught yesterday when he's spinning in the air and he comes down with the 2 feet down and there are plays where he's getting the ball like on a jet sweep? Like, he looks so fast. Like, it looks like he moves like Tyreek Hill, but he's 6'3".
Yeah,
it looks like he shouldn't move that fast.
He looks like a top 10 receiver in the league already.
Yeah, he looks unbelievable.
Number three on the rookie receiver report is Rome Odunze, who had his first big game yesterday.
Yep.
112, huge. 6 for 112 and a touchdown. Odunze has his first kind of, hey, he's on the scene moment.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Did you see his celebration, by the way, with that touchdown?
I did not see his celebration.
It was like a, he ran towards like Caleb Williams and like, kind of pretended to run away from him, like, no, I get to keep the ball. Like, kind of celebration, because think about it, it was both of their first touchdown.
All right,
I don't think Williams had one.
Cut it in half.
Cut the ball in half. Slice it down the middle.
Yeah. Next up, Brian Thomas Jr., who we will see tonight with the Jaguars. He's been fine. He's a regular feature of their offense. Had a touchdown in Cleveland. You know, his numbers have not been eye-popping, but he's been pretty good for them.
Yep.
After Brian Thomas Jr. comes, Xavier Worthy, who had his biggest day on opening day with two touchdowns, has not been crazy.
There's not a lot of volume.
Nope.
Right? It really is gadgety stuff, and he's not really a regular part yet.
He's averaging a target per quarter.
A target per quarter?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, look up his targets. We just mentioned Nabers got 14 in the game against the Browns. I think Worthy doesn't have 14 on the year.
Okay.
After him, Ricky Pearsall. He got shot and is unavailable at this point. So, like, we'll give him an incomplete kind of grade. Not making light of that. That's just he hasn't played. Xavier Leggett. Well, he'd been stuck with Bryce Young for a while. He's got 6 catches, 77 yards, no touchdowns.
All right. So not really going yet.
That seems to be if we remove Ricky Pearsall, that's where we are for the rookie receivers, because Leggett. 6 for 77, no touchdowns. Keon Coleman, 4 for 51, no touchdowns. Right? Like,
yeah.
It's a little bit of a drop off, at least in the early production. You've got a Jalen McMillan who's doing some things, Jalen Polk's doing some things. Ladd McConkey, how's he doing? McConkey's been a part of that offense.
He's been fine.
Yeah, fine.
39, 26, and 44 are his receiving yardages. So far.
So right now, it sure looks like the big three. Look like the big three in this rookie class. That's early on. A lot of times, that might be what gets you drafted earliest, is who's the most ready. Hey, I'll take a guy that can play today.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe Coleman today gets a little bit more of a look. He's played 2 games. He was a really important part of their win against Arizona. They might not win the game without him. I mean, he was their leading target getter, their leading receiver in both catches and yards. So he was important in that game, and then they didn't really need him in the game against Miami. So tonight, Jacksonville. And they might need him.
I'm still trying to figure out like what types of plays he's going to really be consistent on, right? Like, because that, if he's going to be a regular target getter in the offense, they can't all be his. Most of his production on the year, there's two games, is a kind of post up, right? It's a deep post up where he just kind of has the body position and doesn't even have to go up for it. It just kind of falls into him because he's done such a good job of positioning. That's not, though, a regular pass. That's not a regular target that you're going to get every game or even every third game. So those crossing patterns for him, have they thrown him a screen yet? Like,
no.
A play like that?
That's something I think could happen tonight.
Like, to me, those are the plays that he will probably be best at. And so far, that's not going to him. But again, this is kind of where, like, I wonder where he'll stand out, because I think there is a lot of overlap in the Bills receiving. And so far, the guys that are sitting down in the soft zone, the guys that are eating over the middle of the field, like, that's occupied. That's right now, it's Shakir. Kincaid can't even get a living out there because so far it's been Shakir. So to me, it's got to be more. I don't know if you're going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches, though, per game. Like, I think what you're seeing from Coleman is he's going to be a good blocker for them. He's going to play a lot of snaps. He's going to catch a jump ball here and there. He's going to the contested catch. But, you know, I might not guess more than 2-3 catches in a game tonight against the Jaguars for him.
The question is, how much are they going to pass it, period?
To begin with.
Will they be able to run it against Jacksonville?
Well, it depends how much the Jaguars are also going to push them, right?
Right.
Miami didn't push them at all. I mean, are the Jaguars capable of making it a one-score game in the fourth quarter? I don't need them to. I don't want them to. But if they do, that's when you really see who Allen is looking to when in those critical moments.
And so far, that's been Shakir.
Absolutely. By far, yep. Yeah.
For the better part of the last 8 games, he's been looking at Shakir in those spots. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The Jags... Can the Bills run the ball the way they want to? They have been very run-heavy. And tonight, maybe another dose of that. They are the number one team in EPA when they pass. When they drop back.
When they drop back, yeah.
Drop back. I like differentiating between run-pass into drop-back.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's scrambles, I'm not saying they should go on the passing stats, but they go on the drop-back stats.
Right.
And that... To me, that's where they belong, you know? You have an opportunity for more big plays.
Right. If I want to see how often the Bills are running it, I don't want Allen having 80 scrambles that are counting towards, oh, they chose to run on this play.
Yeah,
like, no, they didn't. The pass didn't work.
That's what's inflating a lot of rushing stats this year, which, you know, if the Bills do that, that's great. Scramble percentage league-wide, highest it's ever been. That could be a feature of athletic quarterbacks. That could be a feature of young quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, you know, but highest it's ever been, scramble percentage. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, get a call in. Sal checks in as well. Mike, stick with us. You're up right on the other side here on WGR on a Football Monday.